I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
It seems like the NFL is trying to use Jay-Z's immense cultural capital to get back in with a community that frankly feels a little ambivalent about them because of the way that they treated Colin Kaepernick.
Kneeling was not about a job. It was about injustice. Let me bring attention to injustice.
Dale Arnold.
What a hoodie, yeah. I mean, I graded out 99%. One pump return rep.
I know the guy was real fast. And I went 100%.
Rich Keith.
You have cowboy boots?
Oh, hell no.
They're sort of impractical here.
And you looked funny.
Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Already, we're going to start with you mocking me again.
I believe that was on tape. That was recorded.
I know.
But if you'd like me to, I could.
Oh, please. It goes without saying.
What were you thinking with that shirt this morning?
What's wrong with it?
It's actually not a bad shirt.
It's my Tiger Woods shirt. I'm a big fan. I got to tell you the truth now. I'm a big fan of the collarless Tiger Woods shirts.
See, that's a question for me because the NFL,
three button shirts.
The NFL has gone to these. Their sideline coaches, three button, are that. Now, if you have to go somewhere where a collared shirt is part of the dress,
like it used
does
to
that
be
work?
A golf course,
yeah,
is
that work?
This Tiger wears this on the golf course.
Yeah, but he's Tiger. If you show up, say, "Excuse me, sir"?
No, I've worn these at the golf course, and they're
so
fine.
Now, collared shirts don't have to have collars.
Well, they sort of have little mini collars. I don't know what you'd call them.
It's not a collar. In my opinion,
it's not like
to
I
fold
know a
over
collar. Like you have a collared shirt.
Is that what it is? It's got to fold over?
That is just a shirt.
Yeah, but I like Dale's shirt better than yours. Dale looks like
That's hurtful.
You know, Dale looks like he got a little bit more swag.
I like Fitzy better than you.
Well, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
now, you can't show up at most golf courses wearing your superhero's T-shirt. You
what's
can't
wrong
do that.
With that?
Well, I think nothing if wrong with it. I'm just saying they don't let T-shirts that often.
What's the difference?
Well, it depends.
I don't know. What if I put two buttons on my T-shirt and call it a
feel free?
What are you trying to say? Because I got a Captain America shirt on?
No, I like your Captain America shirt. Most swanky golf courses don't want you wearing T-shirts.
Well, I think most swanky
golf courses. They will let you wear this
shirt. I don't
think
it really cares about the color of your T-shirt.
I knew where this was going, Dale. You opened up.
Might be more the color of your skin.
I would suggest that
you can show up in a suit. Hold on, wait a second.
Most golf courses in Massachusetts don't have an issue with that.
Yeah, well,
actually, it's the color of your money that matters most.
That's the color that probably.
Like I said, the only golf course I've ever played had a giant orange dinosaur on it. So, I mean, it's the one we played.
Wait, do you get cowboy boots?
I do not.
Oh, okay.
But I do have golf clubs. They have a little dried up blood on the end. I don't know where that came from. So.
What?
No need to talk about it.
No, I'm way too curious to let it go.
Probably lay low for a while.
I mean,
statute of limitations hasn't quite expired
yet.
Those
were the only golf clubs I remember growing up as a kid. Why you only got one golf club in the trunk? It doesn't make sense. Wait a second. I don't watch golf, but what's the deal? You know, Anthony, why you only got one? And it's in the trunk.
And it's a 2-iron. Nobody can hit a 2-iron.
You got no balls. You got nothing else but one golf club.
I wouldn't tell the guy with one golf club he's got no balls.
No. I mean, he had no balls in the trunk. I'm like, how are you, you know, what are you using a golf club for? Was that? And it was like, why do you have the miniature bat? A miniature aluminum bat.
It's for killing fish. When you reel in a big fish, you got to kill it. You got to knock it out.
You lived in a tough neighborhood, didn't you?
No, it was just like any other neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't have a little bat in your car?
In the golf club with blood on it in the trunk?
I actually had a little bat in my car.
Dale, you grew up where?
In Maine.
Maine, right?
Yeah.
So I went to school in Maine, Bridgeton Academy.
Very nice.
In a very rough area.
Oh, please.
Dale had a gun in his car.
We
found out yesterday.
I mean, I don't understand.
Gun user.
You're mad at me because it's like where? Like, how do you have people have golf clubs in the. But Maine, don't they drive around
blood.
Like shotguns
it's
on
like
the
back? Texas. You got the rack with the gun obvious right there. You want a mess? Let's do it.
Not that many people have gun racks.
Yeah, Maine's a little bit there. It's not like. I mean,
it's not like Texas.
Concealed guns, like, that's even better.
Well, no, it's not like Georgia. Depends I mean, they're country up there, but they're not like southern country where they're driving around with just shotguns and all types of stuff.
So I'd rather see it.
You'd rather see the...
No, it's there.
I'd rather know if I'm about to have a road rage incident. Well, you might want to rethink that. You see that back window?
Well, I have a pickup truck, so who knows? Maybe I could see if I can get a
gun rack. You should. It's a little tougher in this state to do that. I'm just going to suggest that I have a nephew who is a licensed federal officer.
Okay.
And he can carry, even in this state, he can carry anywhere because of what he does for a living. But, like, you just can't carry around here other places.
Massachusetts is very, very strict, especially if you live in the city limits. It's real strict to get a concealed weapons permit. Very hard.
Whereas in Texas, you can go to, like...
Well, some places. When I was in Carolina, I'm a gun person, so when I was in Carolina, you could just carry it with you as long as you had it. In Carolina, as long as they could see it, you know, you were
not
fine.
Not concealed.
But if you had a concealed weapons permit, you were good to go. But down there in, like, Georgia and places like that, I mean, it's, you know, easy it is to go in and get one.
So did a lot of players come to the stadium with guns?
You couldn't have guns on the premises, though. So it's like you couldn't.
But they had them in the car,
yeah, you
right?
had them in the car, so you couldn't walk in, you know, in the locker room.
Like, in a 53-man locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Ballpark, how many guys do you think had owned guns?
Well, I would say more than, let's say, 55%.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of guys. Yeah, a lot of guys.
A lot of guns.
A lot of guys. Yeah, well, you know what? You know, you heard the old saying, right? Rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
I've actually never heard that,
but it's
Andy,
pretty deep.
I get it. Yeah.
Andy,
oh, yeah, I get it.
The look on Andy's face was like, he was like, what?
Told there'd be no math on today's show.
It's
Friday.
The look was priceless. If we had cameras in here, he was like, I don't even know what he's talking about. He looked at Dale like, come on, let's
move on. Yeah, let's talk sports. The sports radio station.
Wiggy, what movie was that from? I'm guessing that's a movie quote.
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there. I mean, you've heard it before. I mean, whether it's a movie or, you know, people really live by it. Right? I mean, you can hear it in plenty of songs. But Andy was like, what? Well, blow through that stop sign. Dale, don't we have a game tomorrow?
Preseason football. Let's talk.
It is a False Count Anywhere Friday, which is a Dale and Keith thing, which means whatever you want to talk about is fine.
Didn't we come up with another name for it?
No.
Wiggy did.
Oh, yeah, you weren't in the...
Not when I'm here, he didn't.
Well, you weren't. You left the room.
And we're not allowed to say it.
Yeah, I don't think we can say
it. Well, then what good does it do to call it that?
It's kind of pointless. You're right.
It was an effort Friday.
Right. Oh, yes. Well, yeah.
Effort Friday.
Effort Friday.
Yeah, I think
the
FCC kind of frowns on that. But as I've been watching preseason football, and let's be honest, none of us watch all of it. You know, you watch as much of it as you want to.
Friends and family.
It feels
you got a kid playing, you watch the fourth quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
Gunnar Olslowski's mom will be tuned in.
But as I'm watching it, I'm thinking the NFL's officiating problems may be as bad or worse than ever. And they try to fix this stuff. They oh, you know, we're going to give you a challenge on pass interference. And then you watch it, and then you watch the challenge, and they still get it wrong, and you're thinking, what are we doing here?
Now you need to have a challenge
for
a challenge.
Yeah, but I've watched it a couple times. I would have to say I disagree a little bit. Like you said, I haven't watched much of it, but I think there was the Detroit. There was one that happened in the Detroit game I remember watching.
Yeah. Yep.
There was a couple of them that I've seen, and they've actually got the calls right, because when this rule first came out, I was like, oh, this is win all day for the offense. And, you know, I'm thinking, if I'm an offensive coordinator, hey, we might just have a play design that calls PI play.
Right.
You know what? It's 3rd and 12. We're just going to go up, take a shot, go deep. And, you know, we're in, like, maybe, like, you know, the 50 or kind of, like, where we can get good, you know, good yardage on
it. Well, Troy has always said that. Troy Brown has always said, end of half, end of game, I'm in a situation. The Patriots did it against the Jaguars in the AFC title game a couple years ago. They ran Brandon Cooks down the left sideline, threw it up. The guy kind of bumped him with the shoulder out of bounds. They got the flag. It set up a score.
Right, and that's what I would think with this new rule. You say, hey, you have that on your call sheets. Like, hey, you know, we're going to utilize it. But then when I, you know, it happened.
New spin on the flag pattern. Remember the old days? They called it a flag pattern.
Exactly.
Now it's literally a flag pattern. We want a flag.
So I watched a few of them in the preseason, and they actually got the calls right, because you know how it is. You could call a penalty on every play. You can call PI on every single route that you run. And the one thing that I forget who was talking about, the rule is you really have to impede that offensive player's kind of like route for him to make a play on the ball. So a little bit of hand jostling and that kind of thing, not a problem. So the ones I've seen, I've been relatively happy with it.
I'm going to ask you to Google something.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you to Google Bengals Redskins from last night. Pass interference,
Okay.
And watch how they blew the call.
All right.
Totally, completely blew the call.
By the way, I believe it was the Bengals a week earlier, they had a review that they got right. It was an interception that was actually overturned because pass interference led to the interception, and they got it right. But the problem is,
supposedly this was a developmental referee.
Okay, well,
okay,
he needs to develop some more.
Okay, he screws up the call. How do you then screw up the replay?
I don't really understand, because that's what this is here to fix. The stuff Wiggy's talking about, the one that Matt Patricia challenged in the Patriots game, arm fighting and whatever's going on, I actually don't even care about those. I don't really want them reviewed. It's just, to me, that's the margin for error within a game. It's human. This rule was designed for what? One simple play. The NFC title game, where the first time in the history of football a team lost and advanced to the Super Bowl, the Rams and the Saints. Get those right.
Maybe
those
the worst
game
call.
Changing.
Maybe the worst call I've ever seen in a
Correct.
NFL
yeah, that
game.
Was that
That's
was
what this
blatant.
Is here to fix. And I thought last night's was pretty obvious with the Bengals and the Redskins. And you just wonder, like, what are they watching? Did they not see it? You know, did something happen technologically and they just pretended they were seeing it and didn't actually see it and stuck with it? I can't answer, but we're this early, week two of the preseason, we're this early and we're talking about it. Where are we going to be in November when games start to matter?
When
you know, Bill
really
Belichick's
matters,
real
right.
schedule starts yeah. now, Thanksgiving, and then we get into January.
Well, and I'll take it one step further. And Mike Lombardi tweeted about this, and I've been thinking it as well. We were told going into the preseason there was going to be a greater emphasis on offensive holding penalties. Good luck if you want to try to establish the run on first down. Because they're calling offensive holding penalties like they get a bounty on them or something.
Right. Which, as Wiggy said, you can call that on any play.
Right.
And you're seeing it now, and especially if you're trying to run to the outside. If I were Josh McDaniel, I wouldn't even call a running play to the outside on first down, because it's coming back. Every time it's coming back.
Just because they have no receivers.
Let me ask you this, because we saw this a little bit with, I believe it was last year or maybe the year before in the preseason. Remember, it was the whole lowering the head as
and then they got rid of it after
and then
a
they
while.
Stopped calling it.
Yeah, right. So, and we saw that, and was that last year's preseason? I think they called one. I was watching one preseason game. They called one this year, which is, I think that is the worst rule that they ever came up with, because it's just a natural reaction on the offensive player and the defensive player, but they called it on the offensive player. But they got to the regular season and they decided to say, man, we got to throw, I mean, this rule's here, but we can't call this, because it just, it's one of those things where it's so hard to, you know, on every play, guys are lowering their head. Right. There's a guy coming in the last second and there's a guy changes level. And I think maybe with this with the PI penalty, you'll see where it has to be glaring. And yeah, they probably made the mistake. I'm still looking for the one from last night. But I think that you'll see they'll only overturn it unless it's extremely glaring, where that defender right. did impede the receivers.
There's no question that I think sometimes in the preseason they use it to, for lack of a better term, scare the players straight. Like, they just go overboard with whatever it is, lowering the helmet or roughing the passer or low hits on the court. Whatever rule their sort of point of emphasis they're working on, they go all in. It'd be like, you know, somebody sitting out on 93 one day and getting every person that goes 66 miles an hour gets pulled over, hoping that if I do that one day, well, then the rest of the year people are going to drive a little slower and pay attention to the limits. They do that in the preseason. And I worry about the calls. You know, everybody thinks this is going to fix that glaring mistake. Well, I saw an example last night where I still have to worry that for whatever reason, for some reason, they won't get it right.
I mean, I would assume, and maybe with the NFL, this is a bad idea on my part. I would assume that if they had the ability to challenge and go back and look at that Saints play, they would get it right.
Mm-hmm. I would hope so.
But based on last night, I'm not sure they would have gotten it right.
Have you ever heard my replay theory?
No, what's that?
Full speed. No slow motion
That's
replay.
That's fair.
If you can't figure out how bad a call it was with a regular replay, just full speed, watch it again. I'll even give you a couple angles if you want to make your job a little easier as an official. But if you can't figure it out at full speed, it was not that bad a call.
Well, but I'll say this, when they do replays in baseball.
I hate them.
On the play at first base.
Hate it.
there are times at full speed you can't see it.
Okay.
And then on slow motion, you go, okay, clearly he beat the throw.
But it's not clearly. That
no, no. It's slow
called
motion,
a bang-bang
bang
play. And guess what? But over a 162 season, some will go your way, some will go against you. That's why they're bang-bang plays.
But you need
that's
the slow. You need the slow motion because the reason for instant replay is because of the fact things happen so quickly.
No, no, but no.
The Julian Edelman catch.
Yes.
Yes.
There is no way you would have called that a catch without slow motion replay.
Right. What did they call it on the field?
Did they call it a catch? Or
I think they called it a catch.
Yeah,
I'm not
I can't
sure.
remember what they called
it. But what
but
I
again,
do,
I don't
my point is, if they had called it an incomplete pass, you go and look at it.
Right.
Real time, you would not be able to call that a catch.
Frame by frame, yes.
Oh,
because
God,
you look at it twice, full speed, and say, yep, I think
honest
he caught
to
it.
God, slow motion replay, I couldn't believe
you
caught it.
You had to really, really look. And then the other replay that was the punt return from Julian Edelman. Remember punt return from Julian? I forget. That's Kansas City game, right? Where it looks like it hits his finger, but you can't. Without slow-mo and breaking it down and having different camera angles frame by frame, and I actually just saw the... They called offensive pass interference on that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, man, those referees, they should never be able to call another game again.
Thank you.
That was just blatant. But you need the ability to slow it down, especially in the world we live in now where they have these high-definition cameras. It's like, you know, 4K, you can frame by frame, and it's like you can look
at... No, but the whole point of replay, originally, all along, is to fix the... egregious, horrific calls.
No. I think
The guy at second base, he stole and he dove head first. And did you see his body came off the base for a half a millisecond and the guy held the tag and he's out?
I think you're missing the point. The whole part of replay is to get something right that human error or, like the human eye just can't see that potentially could cause a team to lose a championship.
Yeah. That's only a really bad play. Only a mistake that you got. I can't allow that.
Here's
to go
what
forward.
Rather than your proposal that only full speed.
Full speed.
Then I'd get rid of replay. Period.
I don't love that because now we're back to.
I'm closing in on just get rid of replay.
No.
But we can't.
What's wrong with that? I don't think the replay is the issue. Like replay is not a problem.
Sometimes it is. Like last night's game.
Yeah.
Replay was the issue.
Yeah, but
when,
do you
if
think
you
it was
see
the
that
issue,
player saying, "What are you kidding?"
Right.
Me?
I saw that, but do you think the issue? Is the referees that screwed up the call?
No, it's the replay.
But on the replay, it clearly shows that it's not an offensive pass.
The referee can get a call wrong. That's going to happen. Human error.
Right.
Supposedly, replay is going to fix this.
Right.
We're not going to let that error stand. And then you watch the replay and you get the call and you're saying, what are you talking about?
Yeah, but Dale, my point is that somebody that's watching this replay is the person deciding, oh, no, the call stands on the field or whatever it is. So the replay is doing its job. It's the person who's now looking at that play to make the decision and go, wait a second, there's no offensive pass interference here. So don't blame the replay. Blame the person.
Still the human.
It's still the human making the mistake because we all see that there's no way that that's offensive pass
interference. That's why I think that one's so bad that I almost believe the replay system went down and they never saw the replays and they just said, just go with it, just go with it, keep the game moving.
You know what? That might be it.
Because it's that obvious. It's
because
that bad.
When they do the replay, right, and they go back, who's the deciding factor on the call? Is it the referee who's looking at the replay or is he getting it? Like in hockey, right? Isn't it Toronto?
Isn't it Alberto Riveron?
Yeah,
isn't he
New York,
the ultimate,
quote unquote?
But supposedly he makes the final call.
Right.
So there's a guy somewhere else
New York.
Okay, in New York.
I think that system went down, and the guy was like, "I can't.
Yeah,
just stick with it."
That's the person that I would blame. I wouldn't blame the replay because when you look at a call, it's the person that looks at this in very different angles and with maybe some other people there helping him out. Like, oh, wait a second, looks like the ball hit the ground right there.
It was a Thursday night. Preseason, the guy was getting a hot dog and a beer in like the kitchen, and he missed it, and they blew it.
It's like, oh, wait a second, we got a replay.
Where's Al? Anyone seen Al?
Hold on,
crying out loud.
Let me just put this relish on my thing.
Al surfing the web.
Right. So that's where I blame. I think replay is good.
I hate it. It slows everything. You like baseball replay when a guy gets steals second, and he's like, no. He points the dugout. Then the manager comes to the top step, puts his hand out on the field. He's got the guy down the hall.
But
now we got to bring the umps together who look dumber than anything.
Yeah, but
with the bag phone.
Right, I need to look at these guys standing around, and they're not actually looking at anything. We're watching people not watch anything.
No, because they're not making the call anyway.
It's the worst thing that's been added to baseball ever.
And they do this in baseball. because you do a lot of games. They actually tell you how long the replay was, right? Don't they tell you in baseball, like, okay, that would took us, you know, 3 or 4 minutes.
The other thing they do is in the stadium, mm-hmm. on the giant screen, you're looking at exactly what the replay booth in New York is looking at.
And that's where
they're
got it right.
You the exact thing.
But think about this. When you really think about it, for the most part, I would say that the average time on all sports replay is probably less than a minute and a half.
But it's not just the time. It's the emotional hole in the game.
Yeah,
the stoppage of the energy and the momentum.
But you need that to get a call
right. But breaks are part of sports, no?
But you no.
Like getting a break. You're Mr. Cheater. You're willing to cheat at any angle. Well, so no, sometimes getting a break is also part of sports.
I said bend the rules.
Okay, bend the rules, gray area, yes. black and white area, yes. whatever area you think
not
it
cheating.
Is. But momentum and breaks and energy is part of sports.
Right,
and now you have momentum because you knocked a pass away, but I'm going to throw a flag and I'm going to bring this to a screeching halt.
What if we have momentum and all of a sudden I make this great catch and they then call it incomplete? And I'm like, no, wait, hey, I made this catch. Forget the, and we're not going to be able to continue that momentum.
If it's that bad a deal under my system, we watch a full speed replay that takes less than
but
whatever,
full speed,
and boom,
you still
got it.
You still like we
then it wasn't
about
that the, bad a call.
Like
if you can't see it in full speed, it wasn't that bad a call.
So like the Julian Edelman play.
Yep.
So that call
and they did
to
call it a catch. Okay, they got it right.
See,
but my point
was
is,
it a bad call?
If they had called it incomplete,
they would have been close enough to call it incomplete anyway.
But he caught
I
it.
Know, but by a blade of grass and this and that is not what replay is about.
Yeah,
replay is about.
But that's a huge play that happens in the game. That
yeah, what down was it?
That I think it might have been third down.
I don't think it was third down.
Well, check it. Second, it was second or third down that potentially could decide the outcome of the game. Right.
It probably did.
Right.
I mean,
well,
really.
It, when you look
you know,
at that, you, it
you
now
never
allows
know what
you
what would have happened if they right. called it incomplete. Maybe the next play goes for 50 yards. Oh, who knows?
It's no different. Listen, like you said, I was part of it. If they don't get the call right and the snowball.
Oh, yeah.
That game.
What the tuck?
You know, we look at it like, well, wait a second.
Yeah. First down for Julian Edelman. You got two more downs. Get over it. It's sports.
Nah, no. But when you make big plays like that, that's why when you look at the tuck rule game, you go back, you look at it, and they understand what the replay is, and they get it right, and it leads to winning a game, or in New Orleans' case, it leads to them losing the chance to go to the Super Bowl.
6-1-7.
Full speed, you would have said, holy crap, is that a penalty full speed, right?
It's his job
to
screw
blow through the stop sign.
It's his job to blow through the stop sign.
It's Friday.
It's not your job
it's
to
F.
blow
Dale
through
Friday.
The stop sign, evidently, as opposed to Thursday and Wednesday and Tuesday. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It is a False Con Anywhere Friday, so you bring whatever you want to the table, and Wiggy will give you a snappy answer for it. We'll get to the calls with you guys in just a few minutes. Dale and Keith, Wiggy and Hart in the house. We got trending.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now.
Back to more of Dale and Keith on Sports Radio WEEI.
Seven seven nine seven ninety three seven is the telephone number. Can I give you a real world story before we get to the calls and stuff? Because it's
sure.
a False Con Anywhere Friday.
It's your show. We're just here.
Yeah, right. So you know
we're
how
just passengers deal.
You know how you always think, you know, these data breaches and stuff always happen to somebody else. And
mm-hmm. Yes,
happened to me.
Oh wow!
So a couple of nights ago, I'm sitting at home and I go on my American Express app to make a payment.
Stay off the porn sites now.
American Express to make a payment.
I'd stick with free porn if
and,
I were you.
And I see on my app, my American Express app, a charge for $2,321.43.
Wow.
At a hotel in Doha, Qatar.
Where you've been often.
Yeah. Had to look it up to even find it.
Shows that Dale got some guap over there, $2,000.
So which by the way was probably a night.
Which Amex card was this? What's the best one? Black?
He's got the black card.
No, I have a platinum. I don't have a black.
Oof.
So anyway, I call American Express and Showing I say, you know, and now look, I don't have to pay it. That's fine. You know, they cancel the card. You know, they're sending me a new card and all that stuff. But then I get thinking, how does somebody out there have my American Express card number?
Dark web.
This stuff starts to, you know, I never think about it. They say, oh, well, so-and-so, you know, they a million accounts were and I think, well, what do they want with me? Somebody wanted me.
Right.
And I never thought that it would happen to me. And somebody got my American Express card number and had themselves a night in Doha, Qatar. Mm-hmm.
And don't they buy
That's a pretty good night.
They buy them as like a lot. Like somebody on the dark web, you can buy like 1,000 credit card numbers.
Well, it's
numbers
like,
for
like off the Capital One. Was the Capital One just had a breach? Or
yeah, they all have them.
Is that where the lady worked and there was like over 100 million people's information got out there?
That's why I figure you can't really worry about it.
Like, yeah, because
it's just one of those things.
Because as long as you have the ability to go, hey, wait a second, this ain't me. Just give me my money back. Right.
I ain't paying this.
And American Express, there was no problem instantly. They're investigating.
Oh, Mr.
And all
Arnold,
that.
You've been a customer since 1992. Right. You're
whatever
a platinum member. We really appreciate it.
You just got to make sure it wasn't you.
And it was pretty easy. Now, here's the thing. They ask you a bunch of questions. You know, are you still in possession of the card? And I look in my wallet. Yep, it's right here.
Right.
You know, did you give your card number out to a family member or a friend so that they could? Nope.
Right.
No, but I give it out to, like, the pizza guy. Right, your number goes out to everybody.
I only use it for hotels.
So what were they
saying?
So what did they say after that when you didn't give it out to nobody? In this
thing? They just said obviously there's been a data breach.
Right.
You're not responsible for this. We'll take it off your bill. We're now investigating. So I did a little investigating of my own.
Mm-hmm. Dale Arnold on the case.
So the hotel in Qatar, is a Marriott hotel.
Okay,
I'm a Marriott Bonvoy member, like a whole bunch of other people are. I get on my Marriott account, and my American Express card is on the account.
Linked into it.
For, you know, when I stayed at a Marriott when I went to visit my daughter in San Francisco last month.
Right, but isn't that's a private account, though, right?
Well, so I thought.
Right.
Is anything on the internet private?
So now I'm thinking Marriott had a bunch of stuff stolen.
Yes.
Marriott had a bunch of numbers stolen.
Mm-hmm.
So, by the way, if you're a Marriott member out there or an American Express card member, might want to take a look at your bill. So I think that's where it ended up getting stolen from.
Hmm.
Now, by the way, I've looked at when I went on the website and saw the hotel, I was only half joking when I said that's probably a night. I mean, it's one of those real fancy, you know, and $2,300 was probably a night in a nice room and a great meal.
Stole the robe.
So they're already gone. I mean, they're out. Yeah, you know, they've had their night. They're God knows where, and it works for them.
Oh yeah. Dark web, you can have a lot of fun.
See, what I got out of all that, right, is that...
Dale's rich?
No.
No.
I like the... Well, why not have, like, somebody you know, give them your number, use your card, and then call and be like, hey, listen, somebody just stole
me. So we're back to Wiggy.
Called fraud.
Bending the rules.
Hey,
called fraud.
Yeah, it's a crime.
Wiggy. That's why I asked
This is
Dale.
A legality in for you now.
Well, that's why I asked Dale. I said, well, what did they say to you when you said you didn't give it out to a friend or nobody? They kind of said, oh, okay, and they moved on.
He wants details, so the plan is perfectly executable.
Well, you could say, hey, listen, they took out $2,300 worth of cash. Can you please put that back on my card?
Well, I told Dale, this happened to me once, and they got my number somehow, and at a mall in Connecticut, all they did was buy gift cards.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands and thousands of dollars over like a week in gift cards. But your theory could have worked. If I had a buddy do that, and then I claim, whoa, no, that something was stolen,
and now
they wipe it out, now you got gift cards.
But now he goes out and then sells these gift cards, because it only works unless you're getting cash back.
Right.
Right. So he now would have to...
But can't you sell those? Don't people do that on like Craigslist now?
Maybe you sell the gift cards, right?
Here's a $250 gift card to Macy's. I'll sell it to you for $200.
Right, right.
Now I got $200 in cash.
Right, and you and your buddy. That's why
we've
saying...
We've extended the distance between my credit card and the cash and me. And,
well, that's why I'm saying if Dale said, well, they...
Dale looks appalled.
The fact that Wiggy's thinking, yeah, this would work.
Well, they would say if they took...
There are laws involved here,
They took out $2,300 in cash. I don't know what's happening. It's all, okay, we'll take into it. You sure? You didn't give a count. I gave it to nobody. Both.
Were you with the Vikings with Mike Tice? I just remember he had one of these scams that was perfect for Super Bowl tickets.
He had the Super Bowl ticket.
Oh, yeah, it was perfect.
I have no idea about Super Bowl
Where'd
tickets.
Where'd your Super Bowl tickets end up?
My Super Bowl tickets, where they always go, to family.
Sure.
And friends.
Uncle Tice.
Real good friends.
And Uncle Tice gave me 10 grand for him.
Including a friend who's got a 2-iron with blood on it
right.
in the trunk.
Listen, I'm still trying to get 2-1
tickets. I always think of it's going to happen to somebody else.
Right. And then I'm always thinking about, wow, imagine if they just get cash. This is a nice little come up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you get your buddy, you give him your card, you say, hey, listen, wait
but
about.
But the flip side is, imagine if I spend the next 8 years in jail for credit card fraud.
Texter brings up a good point. I got to check this. Did I get the Marriott points from this guy?
Oh, you should.
I mean, they should be giving me the Marriott points.
They should be bending over backwards if they're the ones who lost your credit card.
Oh, if they are, I've all of a sudden gone to the most elite status Marriott has.
That's damn right.
Well, you should call Marriott.
Oh, I already did.
Okay.
You should have said, do I get those points?
They were next on my next on my list, and I called them right after American Express, and I've got my case number, and they're investigating. Hey, you guys lost my credit card number. Gave it to somebody.
Sounds like you should get a couple nice free rooms out of it when you travel again.
See, this is what they should do. They should sell the numbers and make their money in a Wiggy-like scheme.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm just saying. You're not hurting anybody.
Well, you are.
Yes, you are.
It's not a victimless crime, credit card fraud.
Well, you're hurting
they always say about insurance fraud.
You're not hurting anybody.
Right.
Yeah, you're hurting the credit card company, which, you know, at the end of the day, no.
You're a member of the credit card company.
Yeah, but
you pay fees on credit cards and things of that nature. Interest rates.
Yeah, and the interest rates, you know, sometimes, generally. So aren't they really you sticking you in the end? So you're not really hurting nobody.
Wow.
It's not like you're stealing from a person.
Wiggy, piece together Wiggy's whole
The whole persona, the Wiggy persona gets fleshed out more and more. You're not really hurting anybody.
Well, you're not. It's a credit
card. Cash, homie.
How much you think, let's say Capital One, that credit card company, I mean, how much money you think that company gets, you know, from, you know, is worth or whatever it may
be. But maybe if everybody like you stopped committing fraud, the interest rate would go down from 16% they're charging you to 10%. Well, but they got to cover it, so everybody gets screwed thanks to you, Wiggy.
Well, not me, but people who do that.
Someone I know.
So asking for a friend.
I just asked a question. You threw it out there, Dale.
You're the one who
took us down this dark
road. Happened to me out of nowhere. You told me it had happened to you once.
Yeah. You got to go to line 3, please.
Oh, yeah.
Not telling you what to do. But.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to. Mike's in Gardner. Hey, Mike.
Dale.
Yes, sir.
Dale, I've actually been to that Marriott in Doha, Qatar.
When?
I was in the Air Force Reserves. I'm retired from them now, but in 2002, right after 9/11, I got deployed over to Al Udeid Air Base, which is in Qatar, and we were allowed to do day trips out to Doha. Like us Americans, we were allowed to go, and there was 4 of us. We would we get a vehicle, and we could go into town. We'd stop off, get something to eat. Like there was a Chili's. We'd go eat there, and then we'd go. There was that area.
Isn't that hotel as expensive as the pictures make it look?
It was, but they would charge us. It was like a day charge. It was like I want to say it was like 50. It might have been 60, 70, 80 bucks or something. But they would charge us for it, and we could go and use like their facilities. You could use like their spa, or we'd go sit and like use the pool, and they. I remember the.
You ain't getting a room. You ain't getting a room in that hotel for 50, 60, 70 bucks.
Hey, I remember one of the guys that would go with us. He would just go sleep in the room because you were sleeping in a bed. We were living in tents in the desert at the time. I mean, Al Udeid. If you look up Al Udeid Air Base now, it's all built up. This was in 2002, right after 9/11.
Did my fraud target have a nice night on $2,321?
I'm willing to bet he did.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't your card, but it was
you
your
ladies.
It was the taxpayer dollars. I mean, it was
yours. You know, I'm talking about the guy who.
So this is technically the second time Dale's paid for hotel rooms at that hotel.
Well, the first time I'm happier to pay for it with a U.S. service member who's getting a chance to sit by the pool and a break from. The other
dodging
stuff.
Bombs.
Yeah, exactly. Jerry's in framing. Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
Good, Dale. How are you?
Doing great.
So it's funny. This has happened to me a couple of times, and it's funny how over the 20 years or so that it's changed. When it happened the first time, I thought, oh, no, I'm screwed. I'm going to pay this money, and I'm going to get $500. Now, I don't even think about the money. It's like I know I'm clean. I don't have to pay for it, so I don't sweat it half as much. But the last time it happened, I thought it was kind of ironic of all the times that it has happened. Whoever it was that got my card, and often it'll be scammed from a place that you went, if you went to a restaurant, someone at the restaurant is will take a scanner and swipe your card, and that's how they get the number. You can have the card. They've got the number, right? And that's all they need. But the last time, they charged $500 worth of items, two items. One was herbal tea. I cannot stand herbal tea. And the second was, and I thought this was funny. This actually made me laugh. A Simply Safe home security system.
Well, you know.
The guy who stole my credit card.
He knows there's a lot of shady people out there. There's
people you have to protect yourself from out there.
I guess it's probably an indictment of the neighborhood he lives in.
Well, maybe it is. Hey, a texter, by the way, says, I was at that hotel in Qatar. A beer was $17.
Wow.
It's not the regular Marriott. It's the Marquis Marriott, top of the line. I just know the pictures. I looked at the pictures when I saw the hotel that I supposedly stayed at.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It looks really nice.
I would stay at that, but
I'm looking at it.
I can't afford to. Yeah, I guess in a way I sort of did stay at it. I just didn't get any of the benefits.
$17 a beer. It's like going to a game.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's like going to Gillette. Same sort of thing. 617-779-7937. It is a Falls Count Anywhere Friday. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You think you know me?
On this day. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. While we're sitting here complaining about replay, the Little League World Series got derailed by a replay.
Yeah, the Little League World Series is now a place where I have to see the momentum of a game ruined by replay. And they here's a new one, by the way. They got the call right on the field, you first base coach. Just let the game play out. It wasn't that close, Rhode Island.
Was it
close? It wasn't that close. I mean, it was close,
Could you, if you were standing there, could you have said, oh, no, I think you got it wrong?
You could say, I think, but it was not an egregious error.
As it turned out, the umpire got the call right anyway.
And I think, I know we like to crap on officials and umpires.
Yes, we do.
Generally, they get it right. More often than not, they get it right.
Right, but it's so difficult because the speed of the game, especially at the, you know, regardless, even at the Little League level, right, the speed of the game and the way things are happening, it's so fast that it's hard for the human eye to pick up certain things.
But most of the time, they get it right. That's my point. Like, sports allows for Tom Brady to make a mistake. Ooh, I didn't see that safety pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why can't we accept that occasionally?
Well, because I think
there's going to be a mistake by the referee, the umpire, official.
I think we do for the most part, right?
So then
we,
full speed replay would fix the rest.
No. See, I think we look at it and go,
I solved the world's problems.
Well done.
How many
I'm going to take the rest of the show off.
How many replays do you get in football? You get two, and if you win one, you get a third, right?
Right. Plus the 2 minute replays.
Right. But that's, you know.
But now we're stacking them up.
But you only
2 + 1 = 3. 2 + 1 = 3 = 6.
Right.
Now maybe we got one at the end of the first half, 7. One at the end of the game, 8.
We don't really see that.
Each one of those takes 3 minutes. We've added 24 minutes to our broadcast.
I would love to know what the average replay per game is, right? How many we...
Not that many.
Right. So so when you look at replay, the reason why it's there, the main reason for replay is to make sure that there's not a call that happens that decides the outcome of the game.
Correct.
Right?
And yet, we get the opposite. Whether it's baseball, whether it's football, we get,
it is a flawed
that spot
system,
was bad in the first quarter.
It is a flawed
system. He had the first down. He's not a yard shy. Is that deciding the game?
It is a flaw.
When there's 48 plays left on both sides of the ball, is that deciding the game?
Listen, everybody knows, you know, there's three plays in a game that will determine the outcome.
Thanks, Bill.
Where those three plays happen, you don't know.
Right.
And so,
this is like bullpen by committee. The most important pitch could be in the fifth inning.
But that's what you know.
It couldn't.
You can always go back and go.
I guess you go back, Andy,
and you go, that one play that happened then, the second quarter, that clearly they missed.
If it's egregious.
If it's
a complete brain fart where something happened and they allowed a guy to run 90 yards after what should have been an incomplete pass, I understand. Change that. Fix that. Right, it's so
that
obvious.
Isn't that why you challenge
No, no,
them?
It isn't. All these things are spots and this, and especially baseball now. That one really drives me nuts. These plays at first or second. The guy's stealing second. Mm-hmm. And again, but the guy goes to the top of the dugout steps. Wait. Okay, yeah, we want to challenge.
How many replays in baseball? You only get one, right? Isn't that what baseball is? I believe it's only one replay.
I don't know. That's the play-by-play guy.
I think it's more than that.
Yeah, is it more than that?
Yeah, I feel like I see it all the time.
Yeah, you do.
Well, you know, see, maybe they have to pull back the number of replays then.
Or go full speed.
Well, no, if you're saying...
Why are you so against full speed replay?
Because
you think it would fix the glaring errors?
I think you would still miss stuff.
Glaring.
Yes.
I'm not saying, the cleat hits and the ball in the glove and it's real close. No, I think those might still happen. To me, those are within the realm of human error or whatever. It's the really bad ones. It's the Saints-Rams you got to fix, right?
Right.
It's so egregious. Full speed would have fixed that, correct?
Yeah, full speed would have fixed that.
So those are the ones we're trying to fix.
But there are ones that full speed might not have been able to fix, right? The ones that you're saying you look at.
The bang-bang play at first base. I mean, I don't think full speed will necessarily solve that one
Then
for
it
you.
Shouldn't, because it's not that bad a call if it's bang-bang.
No, it's not a question whether it's a bad call or not.
It's never going to be perfect, and we don't need it to be perfect.
But what they want is the right call.
Yeah.
It's a situation, too. You look at, like, the first base, bang, bang. Oh, it's a guy going to first base. What's the big deal? But what if it's the guy running to first base, it's the bottom of the ninth, and it's two outs, and there's a runner on third, and he beats the throw?
It's good enough for Mickey Mantle. It's good enough for us.
Oh. Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
What's going
on? Hard to do the replays at full speed. That would take longer. They're going to look at it more. It's better if they slow it down and get it right away.
That's actually a good point.
It's not a good point because I would put a time limit.
Times.
They would get a full speed replay and I would have a time limit. 30 seconds, three angles, and you're done. If you can't figure it out, it wasn't that bad.
You don't need a time limit if you look at it once and get it right. Because if you get it right the first time, they're not going to keep looking at the stupid thing.
Oh, they do it all the time. These replays last forever.
Mike is making a good point, though.
They don't need other angles.
No, they do it all the time. My point is we're trying to speed it up.
If they look at the first angle and they confirm it, why would they keep looking at other angles?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them because they do it all the time.
No.
Yes, they do.
You're wrong.
Do you not watch games? Do you not watch games in any sport?
Apparently
you
don't.
Apparently you've never seen a replay review in baseball or football or hockey or basketball.
I watch football. I don't really care about the other sports. But once they confirm it, they're all set.
No, they don't. They watch every angle. You clearly aren't watching.
Yes, once they confirm it. If they watch other angles, they wasn't confirmed yet. What part aren't you understanding?
I don't even understand your point. So you're dead on right there. I don't understand your point.
Let me help Mike out here. If the first angle they show, they go, oh, well, clearly he's safe.
Sure.
That's full speed.
They say, clearly he was safe. They don't then look at two or three or four other angles.
My point
they
would
say,
be,
okay, that. That
right.
The bigger point
when you're talking about when they slow it down.
Right.
Right.
If they need all the angles, this is where I think I'm with Mike, even though he was getting hot and bothered. He's very cranky this morning. I don't know. It's Friday. Be happy, man. My point is, if it needs to go seven replays deep, then it wasn't that
bad
a call.
But full speed, you're not, even if you're going full speed, you're not going to be able to pick it up because it's going to be like, wait a second, did he do it? The full speed, you would be able to know the Brady tuck rule.
I didn't know the tuck rule, so.
Well,
that's
but
a
I'm
bad
saying.
Example.
None of us did. Bad example.
But the full speed of it, you would have never known, like, coming. You would have looked like, oh, wait a second, he tucked the ball.
Wait, I got to ask you a dead serious question,
yes.
Okay? You were there.
Yes.
You were in the game.
I was a half second away from landing.
You are not going to get an honest answer to this question.
Did you know the tuck rule?
Did I know the tuck rule?
No.
He did it. When you answered the question, let's move on. I didn't know the tuck rule. I thought it was a fun
one. None of us knew. Nobody knew that rule.
But what did happen early in the year, it did happen.
I know. But
maybe I just wasn't paying attention.
No. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keith with Wiggy and Hart, Sports Radio WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.